Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. This is June the 7th, 2024, and what a day the Lord has made. This is a day that anything is possible, whatever you're going through, whatever situation, whatever trial, whatever challenge, whatever heartache, whatever it is for you out there today, I just tell you, Jesus is enough. Surrender to Him. Pray fast. Let Him be your Savior, your Redeemer, your Reconciler. He is your all in all. And we're just believing God for great things in your life. And I know that He is our strong tower and our refuge, our healer, our provider. He is our all in all. So welcome in on this Sunday, this Friday morning, this sunny Friday morning. It's a beautiful day out there. I think it's going to be a beautiful day today. And so go enjoy the weather. Enjoy this weekend coming up. I think there's some storms and rain coming in Friday, but nothing too bad from what I can gather. And we're just going to celebrate the risen King and the Lord of Lords. And I for one, am extremely pumped for what God's doing in the earth. And so a lot of things going on around us. I'm going to swing over and get my phone for a second. Of course, it'll be on the whole other side of the desk. And so we got some things going on here. As you can hear my chair rolling in the distance. Let's see here. Events, the free admission event. Guy Penron's going to be at the square tonight. That is tonight. And that's going to be at 6 o'clock right there on East Main Street. It's going to be a great night there. Tent Revival still going on with Zachary Capps here in Litchfield. That is right across the road from Grayson Manor. And that area right there in Litchfield, Kentucky. Then we have the I Am Tent Revival going on in Eastview. So a couple of great events going on there. If you want to go and participate in either of those tent revivals, Heritage Messengers is going to be in concert tomorrow night there in Custer, Kentucky at 43 Church of God Road. For more information, you can contact Pastor Mike Biggs, 270-418-9275. And then we've got Jason Miller's going to be preaching at Madrid Sunday, June the 23rd, 6 o'clock p.m. He's going to be ministering there at Madrid Pentecostal Church right down the road on 401 here in Hudson and Madrid. Well, it'd be Madrid, Kentucky, actually. It's all little cities right next to each other. Also on our app, if you don't have our app, you can get to your app store, whether that be Apple or Android, and you download Tithely, T-I-T-H-L-Y, and you download Tithely church app, not the giving app, the church app, and then you'll search Box 2 Network. On the Box 2 Network app, you will find the Listen Live link, you'll find the events, you'll find the podcast, the Call Us. If you want to contact, you have a Bible app there within the app, and then you've got the prayer wall that you can submit prayer requests to us. And pray for, just have the family pray for situations in your life and prayer requests that you know is urgent and on your mind and in your life that you need God to answer, and we'll pray and believe God with you. Also, we love your Bible questions, your interactions. This week has been tremendous for people interacting and engaging with us, and so we really appreciate all that, and we love it. Makes the broadcast goes so much better in the morning whenever you guys are so much involved, and it's a lot of fun. We laugh a lot. We have some really good conversation throughout the week. We've had tons of it this week so far, and this morning will be no different. We're just excited for what God has in store. I think this is the morning that Brother Denny and Brother Jared will be in with us, so they'll be rolling in here in a little bit. And so we're just excited for a new good morning. We're going to try to finish Daniel chapter 12 today. That is the goal. And then I already have a couple of Bible questions from listeners kind of proceeding from where we was at yesterday that came in either right at the end or I didn't see it. And so excited to get into those two. Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
Good. Was the questions about our discussions or about Daniel?
More of our discussions.
Okay.
And our enemy and what we're really fighting against. And mm-hmm. so just some more discussion along there. And
do you have water in that cup?
I do have water in that cup.
It's a healthy day.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I'm losing my taste for a lot of things. I don't know. Just I'm thirsting for water. Mountain Dew is no longer cutting it for me. I don't know what it is. Like, it's just
It's prayers.
It could be very well, but even, you know, I don't know. I've lost a little weight. I was up to 230 last October, November, and I weighed myself the other night, and I was 217. So that's down 13 pounds. Not even really trying. So I figured, you know, I could probably do this, and it would probably make me feel better, and it may even help my golf game. Who knows? Losing some weight, the belly's out of the way of the swing. So we'll see. But I don't know. It's really weird to say, but I'm almost acquiring a thirst and a for water. I don't know if that's a good thing because water's so boring. That's probably been
It's
my.
a great thing.
It's just been a boring drink. I mean,
Okay,
there's.
but do you like iced water better or like room temperature?
Well, this is iced. In the Yeti cup, and if you hear my Yeti cup, I'm sorry, it's loud and tingy. It's about as bad as my chair rolling across, but it is water. It is water. more yogurt covered raisins, Greg says. Those are a little bit of heaven in the mouth, and they have to be healthy. Yogurt's healthy. Well, is yogurt healthy? I know Greek yogurt is
Greek
healthy.
yogurt,
Yeah.
yeah. I mean, I think regular yogurt is too, but Greek yogurt's probably the best.
So,
I think Greek yogurt is better than regular yogurt because it's thicker.
yogurt and raisins, like, to me, that's a good fit. And so I love pistachios, and they said that's good for my heart.
I have yogurt.
You have yogurt? Yeah. So I don't know. I don't like to. I could eat yogurt like that. Most time, if I eat yogurt, it's either covered raisins or in a. I do like shakes. Like, you get those protein mix. That 3 weeks that I worked out in 2020, it felt really good for those 3 weeks. I mean, really, really good. And then I stopped. But those 3 weeks, I drank those protein shakes or whatever they were. That felt good. And I used yogurt and something else. And I think I even used almond milk in those.
Wow.
Yeah, I think I did use almond milk in those because I think it tastes better with almond milk. But you know, you can buy like Fruity Pebbles in those and some other things.
Okay, now it's making more sense. Now it's adding up.
Now what I was drinking was the vanilla one, but I'm telling you, those 3 weeks of working out and that piece of broccoli I ate early in 2023, it really did something for me. Like, it my system supercharged.
Maybe it started the journey for you.
It could have. But you know, I'm interested in any listeners that I would have input into this. I keep hearing now. I tried one before and I hated it, like I absolutely hated it. But there is some other stuff, like, you know, those greens shakes that you can do. Like, you get the powder and you mix it up. Is there any that anybody's ever participated with, ate, drink, whatever you do with those things? Because the one I tried before was like. He was getting hamster food and putting it in water, and it was disgusting. You ever had that? You ever felt that texture of those green stuff you feel you hamster and stuff like that? It's like really thin and powdery. It was like that. I didn't like it. But if anybody's ever ate any like greens shakes or anything like that to help you get your minerals and vitamins or whatever you get from the rabbit food, you know, I'd be open to hear. And so, but you know, it's really good. I don't know about this water. It's hitting the spot, but it's just so boring. Is those pizza puffs? Have you had the pizza puffs yet? They're like little pizza pies. I don't know how else to say it. Like, they're not very saucy, but it's almost like this little pie looking thing. Like, you fit it in like a muffin pan. You put cheese, pepperoni, and then you bake it in this little crusty pie. Oh, it's good.
Wonder if it's like a crescent roll.
No, it's not that. I mean, like, I think Little Caesar sells one of them, but Heather made some homemade ones the other day, and they were really, really good. And so,
sounds good. Not good for you, but
it was good for me. It was really good. One listener said, make your own frozen fruit shakes, add banana and fresh spinach. Well, you had me until you said fresh spinach. I don't know. I don't know.
I know what, for a little while, and Savannah and I worked out a little bit, and we were trying to get more protein. We got protein powder, whey protein powder, and we would put that in shakes with fruit and stuff like that. We wouldn't add spinach. We would just do fruit, the protein powder, or if we really like peanut butter banana, and then that's even more protein putting the peanut butter in there.
Yeah. You know, when I was doing my shakes, I said you could get a Fruity Pebbles mix. I didn't have Fruity Pebbles. I just had vanilla. But I did almond milk, the protein powder, and then I did blueberry or strawberry. Put ice in it. And I think that's all I did. No, and a little bit of yogurt, the Greek yogurt. And you just mix it up in the Ninja, and it tastes pretty good. It tastes pretty good. I drink one for breakfast.
Swap that out instead of going to Hardee's, and you'll be set.
Yeah, but when we say that, there's a part of my heart that hurts. It's just that sausage biscuit or that bacon, egg, and cheese or that sausage, egg, biscuit. It just calls your name. That Swiss roll calling your name that one time, the biscuit was calling mine.
Heather was talking about a testimony of someone who had alpha gal, and then when they got healed, they got prayed over and healed, and then when they came back to church and they could actually eat meat again, they said something like, take me to Hardee's. And they said they wanted a bacon biscuit or something. I can't remember, but it was so funny.
If I had alpha gal and I got healed of alpha gal, then I would be like, take me to a steakhouse right now. Roadhouse, Cattlemen's, Longhorns, it doesn't matter. Just take me. Just take me, somebody. One listener said, I'm hooked on chicken biscuits right now. Chicken biscuits are good. I think it's Nolan that loves chicken biscuits. Another one said, lean gainer with peanut butter and frozen bananas.
Yes.
What's gainer?
I don't know what that is, but the peanut butter banana with the mix is really good.
They said that with the fresh spinach, it will give you your greens, but you can't even taste it in the shake. I promise.
I can see that.
Add frozen strawberries and what other frozen fruit you want.
Just let somebody else make it so you don't have to look at it going in there.
So is this, all right, so listener, I'm hooked now, okay? I'm listening. I'm listening. I don't know if I'm hearing. All right, what is it? I'm hearing, but maybe not listening. Maybe that's what it is. I'm hearing it, but I'm not for sure I'm listening yet, okay? So I'm working towards this. What kind of spinach do you put in there? Is it like the spinach leaves?
Yeah, I'm sure.
See, I don't mind spinach leaves. I've ate salads with spinach leaves. I cannot eat salad with the iceberg lettuce stuff.
That's not even nutritious, so you're good there.
The iceberg?
Iceberg is just water.
Oh.
I mean, water's nutritious, but there's no, like the more green it is, the more healthy it is.
Like, I have ate one time. I'm not saying a lot. I'm saying one time at my kitchen table, I ate spinach leaves, honey, and some kind of something on top. It was honey, spinach, croutons, and something else. I did eat that. I think maybe a little bacon bits. Not much. Not ridiculous. I mean, like, I'm not talking like a whole bag of bacon bits and one spinach leaves. Like, it was just a sprinkle. All right?
But this wasn't a taco salad.
A taco salad is still a salad. It's still, there's still the word salad in it.
No, but that salad you're talking about with spinach is actually really healthy.
All right, so I need from this listener, is it spinach leaves? Is it fresh spinach leaves, or am I looking at some other spinach?
I think so.
Lean Gainer is the name of protein drink. Man, I'm learning all kind of stuff. I don't even know how we're on this. Thanks for...
I started it, but you know, I think this is edifying. People who are trying to eat better need to drink their water.
I've got this 55,000 ounce bottle of water in here. I think it was a 40 ounce or a 44 ounce bottle of water, and I've drank about half of it this morning already. So, all right, well, let's get into Daniel. We got to finish Daniel. We got to finish this Daniel. He ate Leafs one time. We're getting into the Daniel and the Daniel diet, the Daniel fast, as I call it. I call it the Daniel diet. All right. Where did we tab at?
Oh, we tabbed at 5.
Okay. All right. Then I, Daniel, looked and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream? How long shall it be till the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, he's raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end of all these things would be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, and the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from that time the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up. There shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who awaits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your ways till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. Finished. All right, so he's telling them, like, you know, just go. Daniel's like, I don't understand. He said, you will. Basically, that's what he's saying. Like, Daniel's like, hold on. I still don't understand things. The wise will, man. Don't worry about it. Like, the wicked will act wickedly. The wise will understand. You will stand in your rightful place. What's the Lord actually telling him there? Like, when I see that, and this is what I'm seeing, and you know, there's some technical things you could decipher here. And reading through the book of Daniel this way, I kind of slowed down a little bit and did some other things. And I didn't try to just pay attention to what other people said about this reading of the Daniel. And I feel like Daniel's a little bit different than a lot of people preach and teach it. Like, I feel like we make Daniel a lot more end times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of Daniel's already happened. I think there's very little parts of Daniel that hasn't, in my opinion, in this read through. That would be what I take. But also, I take this at the end of it, like, Daniel did receive all this. And even right there, it seems like even he's kind of like, I still don't understand some things. And it's like, you're okay. Like, you will. And I don't know. I think that's kind of reassuring. Like, even when we study eschatology, we say, like for Daniel, this was prophecy. But when we study prophecy of the end times, we're kind of like, we don't understand. And it's almost like the Lord's whispers to us, like, it's okay. Like, you will. Like, you don't have to understand it today. Just know that you will understand it.
Yeah. Well, and it's talking about the wise, so to me that was like just confirming even more how much we need to seek wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Pursue it, like it talks about in Proverbs, which is pursuing the Lord, because if we pursue the Lord, then it's naturally going to come.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed the book of Daniel. Most of that was just reading and closing it out there and talking about the wise will understand the wicked. And even that, like, you know, the Lord's even there's even an expectation. The wicked's going to act wickedly, so don't be shocked when they do. But he's kind of instructing Daniel here. And so I find myself, when I read that, I find reassurance, and I find a little bit of peace, and I find a little bit of, like, take a deep breath. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I
like how it talks about rest at the very last verse, too. And my study notes do, it talks about how, you know, Daniel, he obviously wasn't going to live to see the fulfillment of these prophecies. But that he would be resurrected to receive his reward.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about when it says, thou shalt stand in the lot. Your version might say something different, but it just talks about him still receiving those rewards, even if he doesn't get to physically see it, like when it happens.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah, the last note on this for me and my study note is, in the meantime, God's people are to go on living faithfully in the corrupt world, confident of the inheritance that's stored up for them at the end of the days. That we're to continue living. We're continue to push forward. We're continue to keep progressing.
And we will receive rewards if we do that in heaven. And we're going to, you know, I do think the Lord, he wants us to not be so caught up on wanting to see the results or see, I guess it's natural to want to, but to be okay with not being able to. Like, even when, you know, we're praying for people, we're witnessing for people, being okay with not seeing that fruit being produced.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see that throughout Scripture and just generation after generation, we might not be able to always see the fruit of it. But in heaven, everything will be clear to us. So
it will be clear. And, you know, and I think sometimes we Christians, I think we always have this notion of like, come, let the Spirit and the bride say, come quickly. Like, yes and amen. Like there's always a hunger for the Lord to come. But our goal, and this is even what God's trying to, I think it sounds like even what the Lord's telling Daniel here is like, don't just try to leave the corruptness. Don't just try to leave because it's wicked. Like, there's a hunger to be with him. Paul talks about that. But also don't feel like, you know, you're here for a reason. We're here to be the light. We're here to be the light in the midst of darkness. We're here to bring truth to a corrupt world. So don't be so consumed and put off by all that we forget to minister the ones right in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, let's continue on. Let's continue preaching. Let's continue praying. Let's continue seeking the Lord. Let's continue
loving one another.
Let's continue to reach out, to preach the gospel, to live the gospel, to literally be the light, to show the knowledge of God into the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times if we get to this mode where we're just so frustrated with the condition of the world, or like we're shocked by it, we hone out and we isolate ourselves. And this is not what God's telling Daniel to do. Like, Daniel's like, continue to live faithfully, continue to press on. Like, it's all going to work out then. Take rest. Like, he doesn't say freak out. Don't worry. And even in the midst of the, like, if you look at that and you parallel it with our nation today, there's a lot of things that are concerning. There's a lot of things, and we've talked about this, the weaponization of government agencies to come after certain groups of people, the political polarizing in our nation, separating the division. We're looking at, and then you could even get into like economic issues, not just like with taxes and stuff like that, but I'm talking like just practical economic issues of food that's so much. I mean, like, we're talking the same food, the same number of items in 2020 where, you know, I think one lady did one lady showed her shopping cart on a pickup order, and it was like $280 or $275 in 2020. And like those same items was like $600 and something in 2024. You see that. It's like, it's insane. And you get freaked out and you look at the housing market, you look at all these things. And what we cannot do is fall victim to being overwhelmed, because Daniel's like, I don't understand. And the Lord's like, you're not going to right now. And it's okay. Like, because you got to trust me that all things are going to work. What I need you to do, Daniel, is to live wisely, to live faithfully, and remain at peace.
Mm-hmm.
Take rest.
Well, that goes back to our conversation yesterday about worry being a sin and casting that, needing to cast that upon the Lord. Because of Matthew 6, you know, if the Lord, if he provides all these things for the lilies of the field and the birds, then how much more is he going to take care of us, no mm-hmm. matter what's going on around us? And that doesn't mean he's like, we're always going to be rolling in the dough, though, like as much as we have in the past, but he's going to meet our needs.
Yeah.
So
there may be a time when I have to eat a salad with no choice, and that salad may be leaves off a tree or something. I don't know. All right. It may be the only time we water may be all we have, but and I do think I think we as Americans and we as Christians should prepare for hard times at times. You know, like, and what I mean by that is, you know, I'm not saying go like make your garage overwhelmed with water bottles and MRIs, I think is what they're called, or I always get those wrong, or the military ready to eat or packets or whatever they are. But like, you know, I'm not saying that we go to extreme, but I also, you know, we may not always be steak and baked potatoes, and there comes a point where that's okay. Like,
yeah, I do think getting as healthy as possible is a really good way to prepare. Because
I'm drinking water.
Because then you can kind of prepare yourself to be more able to adapt to different stuff. And then there's, you know, people who are on a lot of medications and stuff that, I know we've already talked about medications, but there's certain medications, you know, that can be avoided sure. through bettering our health yeah. and stuff. So,
Brother Rick helped me out. It is MRE. All right.
I didn't know.
I'm horrible. I always forget that. And so, excuse me. Now, there was this really cool, and we'll go to break after this, is there's like a straw that you can get that you can like drink out of the river with.
That, I remember you all
Life
talking
about that.
Life
straw or something like that. That's pretty cool.
Like talking about maybe sending those to other, like Operation Christmas Child. I think we talked about that. I need to look into that.
I think it'd be cool just to have like a one.
Go camping and just drink yeah. out of
like, just, I mean, like, you're supposed to be able to just go drink a river. Like, I mean, just, like, pop that straw in a river and drink out of it. Like, I don't know what it is, but that's what the commercials say. So, we're going to let,
Who's the guinea pig?
Ethan's going to try it first. He's incredibly a lot more healthy than I am. And so, we'll let him be the guinea pig. And if after a little bit he's still okay, maybe I'll try to drink out of the straw. No, I don't care to drink out of the straw. But but it is that thing. That's pretty cool. So who needs all those water bottles when you just buy a bunch of straws?
Daniel and them had them.
I doubt it. All right, let's read our first trivia question of the morning. Friday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. What boy was called out of sleep four times by the voice of God? Brother Rick said, don't try that, LOL. The commercials told me to. If the internet says it's real, it's real. All right, Friday question number one. What boy was called out of sleep four times by the voice of God? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning here in the neighborhood. Brother Ramsey, Brother Denny's in the house. How are you guys doing? Amen. It's good to have you guys. Doing good. Amen. Yeah, it's a beautiful morning in the neighborhood. Yep. Yep. Well, you got a little time to pray and be with the Lord this morning on your drive, Brother Gerald. All right. Well, Miss Hannah's going to take us into the Kingdom Corner real quick, and then we're going to get going into some other Bible questions and some dialogue this morning, and we'll be trucking right along. We're done with Daniel, so that means next week we're starting James. I'm ready. Okay. Let's do it. Geared up.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So we're in Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 21. This is the heading in my, the translation, ESV translation is the marks of a true Christian. So it reads in verse 12, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So that last verse is kind of what led me to this passage of scripture, because it just came to me that do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And the cross-reference there, or the reference of that he's alluding to there, the heaping coals upon their head. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head, is Proverbs 25:21. And it says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water. You'll heap burning coals upon his head, and the Lord will reward you. So I've always loved that verse. I love this whole passage of scripture, because it is the marks of the true Christian. What better scripture to read in a kingdom corner talking about the kingdom than all those characteristics, that lifestyle it's laying out for us that the Lord wants us to live. And these things aren't without the Holy Spirit, it's going to be really hard to achieve these things. To achieve everything. Yes. You know, you might be able to get close to one or two of them, but with the Holy Spirit, we're being conformed into his likeness. He helps produce this character in us, and you know, he wants us to depend on him, and it's not natural to our flesh to want to bless those who curse us. It's not natural for us to want to feed and clothe and give to those who are our enemies.
Amen.
But
amen.
The Holy Spirit will, that's the character of God, and the Holy Spirit will help us be able to do that and give us a love for our enemies, to pray for them. Amen. And even when we really don't want to, I've heard many testimonies of Pastor Aaron actually gave a testimony about, I don't know if he considered this person an enemy, but praying for someone he really didn't want to in his younger days, and the Lord just really blessed his prayer life after that when he
was
obedient.
Amen.
And I do think that this is something that we have to remind ourselves of, and in the world today, we are surrounded by enemies of all sorts and kinds. So we have so many different wars going on, and not just physical, like wars country against country, but even within own countries, there's wars of hate and
Amen.
And and words, word cursing and attacking and slander,
Amen.
Murdering with words, and that's war. That is war. That's that is fighting against one another. But I think the thing that the Lord wants to remind us of is that what he says here, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And I think that's something very important to remember in today's day and time, because there's things going on that do bring up a righteous anger.
Oh, amen.
And
amen.
You know, the word does say be angry and sin not. So it's not saying we're not going to be angry. It's not saying that we won't have that righteous anger, but we have to be very careful not to fall into that that anger that leads us into sin and leads us into having hatred in our hearts towards towards enemies.
Right.
And so the Holy Spirit can help us keep our heart right, can help us. And I love that Pastor Aaron shared that testimony the other night about praying for someone, because I think one of the best ways to keep our hearts soft towards our enemies, in the sense of following what the Word is saying, you know, being able to bless them and not curse them, is to pray for them. I think praying for them is one of the best ways, and not just praying like, Lord, get them, Lord, destroy them, kill them, but let the Holy Spirit take lead. Let the Holy Spirit direct us in our prayer. And even if that's just being obedient and saying, Lord, I don't know what to pray for them, but I'm going to be obedient. And I pray your will over their life. I pray your word, and then to start to pray scripture. But I think that with all of the things going on today, there's so many things, and there's so many things in families. I mean, you hear there's so many Christian families that there are ones that have, you know, started to live a homosexual lifestyle, for example. There's the transgender, there's the LGBTQ movement, there's the anti-Semitism going on. Those are just some of the abortion. There's so many things that are just very, it hurts our spirit. And it does create a righteous anger, but I do see the Lord reminding us to always keep our heart right in the matter, and to let vengeance be his, because his word does not return void, and he says that he will repay. And so I believe that as we keep our heart right, as we continue to do these things, to contribute to the needs of the saint, to bless those who persecute, to bless and not curse, to rejoice with those who rejoice, all of these things, that we will be blessed beyond measure. And our rewards are laid up in heaven. They're not laid up here where the moths can eat them and they rot away. That's the corner today. Oh, the last thing I put was, we must continue to follow the word and not the world.
Right.
So,
amen. And I have a good example of what you're talking about there, with my neighbor. The dad is 56 years old. He's on meth, and he was picked up in Owensboro for trafficking meth last fall, but they didn't do anything to him, so let him go. And but his son, well, his dad had a court date and failure to appear, so they put him back in jail. And then his oldest son started living in his house. And when he moved in, I told him, you know, I said, we had a lot of trouble with your dad and your brother. And I said, if we have a, I'm not going to put up with it like that before. I said, I will call the police on you every day if I have to, but we're not going to put up with it. And I said, I want to be your friend. I want to be a good neighbor. And he got his truck hung up in a ditch in a four-wheel drive, and it was really bad. He just couldn't get it out. And I took my tractor down, pulled him out, you know, and talked to him. And I've done two or three things like that to help him, just even though he was about as bad as his dad and brother, I mean, or almost worse. But yesterday, there were six police officers. Well, the day before that, or Saturday, it might have been Saturday. Anyway, the state police and the county come, and they were looking for a baby. He said he had four children, but the youngest one was 8 months old. Well, the state police that come, I believe it was on Friday of last week, either Friday or Monday, but they was looking for the baby, and they couldn't find the baby. And I hadn't seen anybody at the house for 10 days. They were in the house. And they wouldn't answer the door if the police knocked on the door. And they didn't, at that time, they didn't have an arrest warrant or a search warrant. So, but they come Monday, and I told them, I said, well, before, as long as there was an adult in the house, they would put the dogs in at night and let them out during the daytime. But I said, they haven't put the dogs up, so they've left them out. So I feel like that they probably left. I don't feel like anybody's probably there. They had no cars that would run or anything. The guy had a little scooter, but, you know, 50cc scooter, it's not going to take anybody much with them. But they were actually in the house. Yesterday morning, five state troopers just almost surrounded the house. I mean, they blocked everything. And finally, they got in and took them. There was the dad, the son, and his girlfriend, the mother of the children, and they arrested them. They did have a young girl about 6 years old or maybe 4 years old, and a little boy 2 years old. But the kids were not there. Evidently, they had took them to her mother. And but they arrested them. They booked them night before last for Met, and the dad and the mother of the child, both of them were booked for drugs and methamphetamines. And the dad was booked for fentanyl. The one that I told him I wanted to be his friend, help him any way I could. And but they brought there was about seven or eight police cars. I mean, well, there were private plainclothes investigators out there. They had the dogs, search dogs, and they still have not found that child. So they were booked for child endangerment. I don't know how the police found out about it, but something, and I figure it's probably close to 10 days ago because I hadn't seen them. I mean, they were hid in that house. I mean, they did not come out. We live kind of up on a little hill,
mm-hmm.
and we can see right down at the house. So we never seen them for approximately 10 days, but they were hid in that house, and they believe they took them search dogs all around there, the cornfields and stuff, looking for this baby. So they're booked for child endangerment. They don't know exactly yet what happened, but the guy, the dad, was booked for fentanyl.
Yep.
So I got a feeling that the child...
We'll pray for the child to be found, for sure.
Right. We really believe that probably the child is dead. So,
well, we'll pray for the child to be found. That's amen. Always a desperate situation. We're going to get in some Bible questions here and get in some Bible discussion. We have a lot of things that's been riding lately and a lot of conversations been having.
Mm-hmm.
Getting to we've been pounding a lot of really good, revealing, practical, deeper revelation, like questions, like processing things. Like I never dreamed we would have gone to the cloning thing, and we stayed on that forever, and still getting questions about that. And again, we preface everything to say we are not experts on medical issues, for to say the least. I don't know a lick about cloning, but we are answering questions the best we possibly can. My pea-sized brain is trying to do the best it can with all these questions this week. But we talked yesterday about the enemy. We talked about absolutely, without a doubt, like we established the enemy, that demonic forces, principalities, mm-hmm. all spiritual authority, all these things in high places, like their enemies were
They're
fighting.
Real.
But really, the greatest enemy we'll ever fight is ourself. as born again believers, is that flesh that wants to rise back up, that sin, that the lust of the flesh, the works of the flesh are evidence according to Galatians 5. And I think a lot of times we focus so much on the devil, we never conquer the flesh. And so there's a good balance in there. But literally the same enemy that defeated Satan is the same enemy that's wanting to defeat us, and that's sin, separation from the Father. It's separation. Mm-hmm. Sin separates us. And the enemy, the adversary, the devil, as Peter says, he won't send you to hell. Separation and sin from God will send you to hell. Like, that's it. Like, that's the thing that separates us. Satan and the devil wants to destroy us, but in reality, even in Peter 5, what is it? We talked about this yesterday. How's he destroying us? By our mind. Like, the battlefield's in the mind. He wants us so confused, beaten, broken, all these things, that we're susceptible to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sin is our fight. Satan's trying to get us to do what? Sin. What defeated Satan? Sin. What defeated Adam and Eve? It was never the snake talking to him that was a sin. It was their sin. It was their disobedience. And so we talked about that yesterday, but that's never to negate that we're not fighting Satan and we're not in spiritual warfare and we're not battling there. But there was a question that came up, like, pushing a little farther yesterday, and I had told him I appreciated they said they were thinking we fight against rebellion. We do. I believe the sin starts with rebellion against God's will, was just my thoughts. And I was wondering what about it. So I wanted you guys to hear you guys' thoughts on it. Thank you all so much. Like, sin is rebellion to God's will. It's a disobedience. Lucifer, the son of the morning, the dawn of the day, like, he was created, actually the Bible pretty much says perfect. Like, he was pretty magnificent, and vanity, pride snuck in. Now, if Satan or Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, I don't care, denied that temptation, would he have fallen just for having that temptation? No, he gave into it. Like, that disobedient act and that rebellion. So, is rebellion part of this? Absolutely. Like, in rebelling against God's commandments, rebelling against God's law, rebelling against God's methods, rebelling against what God has commanded and spoke to us to do, all of that, absolutely. And a lot of the works of the flesh are done in rebellion to God. So, like, I guess for me, I wouldn't differentiate the word rebellion and sin, because I think rebellion is a sin. So I think it's just part of it. That's just me. That's how I think I would see it. But I agree with the premise behind it. Like, we're fighting not to rebel against God. So even your kingdom corner. So let's talk about your kingdom corner for a second, Hannah.
Okay.
You're talking about heaps and coals of heaps of coals on their head.
Mm-hmm.
That's not meaning that we're crushing them. Mm-hmm. That means that we are literally changing them with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what Paul's alluding to there in Corinthians when he talks about that, is, you know, they may do something, but we're going to be radically kind.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have such a testimony, they can't refute what we're doing.
Yeah. The way I always, like, learned that and thought through that is that, you know, if you have heaping coals upon your head, you can't ignore that. You can't, you know, no matter how much someone acts like they don't, they're not affected or they don't care, you can tell whenever somebody is being touched.
Yep.
So.
I have a little story if I could share with you about that. When I worked at the factory, I got moved to a different job, and I was working with this lady, and it took both of us to run the job, and she was very irritating with me, so bad that I hated to even go to work. But I determined that I was going to heap on the hot coals. I used the very term. And I just kept on every day just being nice and just being polite to her and endured all I had to go through. And in a few weeks, we became real good friends, and I still talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
I'll call her, she'll call me. But it was terrible. It was hard for me, but I knew that I just needed to heap on the hot coals, and
And it changed her. We became really good friends.
Yeah. Wow. Now, when you say that, like, so you were very intentional and purposeful, though. Like, you had a plan going in, like, I know she's going to be mean, but I'm going to be nice. Like, you were preparing yourself.
I was just going by the word. I knew what the word said about that, you know. So I said, heap on the hot coals.
Hot coals.
I was heaping on hot coals.
Yeah. Yeah. Brother, this is pertaining to the conversation we was having before the hot coals, but it all kind of works together. He used James, he sent in James 1, 13. Well, he said 14 and 15. I'm going to read 13 too. James 1, how fitting we're going to be in here just next week. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. And so, like there, it's, what are you killing? That you are killing that rebellious thought. You are killing that desire. You're killing that. And like, you kill the flesh, you kill sin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you crucify. And again, like, this is where it's so important to understand what is a spiritual attack and what is a fleshly desire. And Derek Prince, we call Charles Spurgeon the Prince of Preachers. I call Derek Prince like the Prince of Deliverance. That's what I'm calling him.
Can't be a coincidence. His last name's Prince.
I'm coining it. All right. I don't know if it'll ever take off, but I'm doing it. But Derek Prince, to me, is probably like, in my opinion, probably the greatest teacher on deliverance there's ever been, in my opinion. That's solely my opinion. There is another older guy that was teaching on deliverance about the same time Derek Prince was. And he's not as well known. And most of them, if I said his name, no one would actually ever know it. But for me, I like him a lot. Like, he's helped me as much as Derek Prince has helped me to understand some things. Both of them are really boring to listen to. They're very monotone, like, Derek Prince says this, and Galatians 5:1 says this, and this is how the whole sermon goes. But he's so prolifically, like, awesome at preaching, at teaching about deliverance. He said, and again, this is his famous quote, you cannot crucify a demon and cast out the flesh. You got to kill this flesh. You cast out the spirit, but you got to crucify the flesh. You've got to purposefully and intentionally take those desires and absolutely crucify. And that is so hard. And I think it's so hard for two reasons. They're desires that are appealing. They usually lead to something that the flesh likes. And then plus, it's like, I can't tell anything else to leave. I got to look in the mirror and say, stop.
Well, you're talking about killing the flesh. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
Mm-hmm.
And it's suffer not a witch to live. It's supposed to kill a witch.
Mm-hmm.
So you got it right. You know, you got to kill that flesh.
Yeah.
And that rebellion. And
it's tough, though.
Yeah,
it is tough. And I mean, the big sins are not always like, all right, there is no more doing this, Aaron, just period. I don't care what you got to do. You can't do it. The ones that really get tough is whenever it's you talked about it. Let's see, Hannah. I don't know if it was yesterday's Kingdom Corner or Tuesday's. We didn't have one Wednesday because of all the questions. But you had said something about the hidden sins,
mm-hmm.
the private sins, and you had talked about that. Those are tough, and like, because nobody sees them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're good at killing the things that everybody sees. We're not good at killing the things that nobody sees.
Mm-hmm.
But David was never qualified to fight Goliath if he had never fought the thing nobody saw.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, that was, I was actually talking about this homosexuality, because a lot of people this isn't just a new thing. Like, the spirit behind that is not new at all. And I believe that a lot more people that battle with lust and perversion actually probably have those unnatural desires, but they don't act on them. Does that make sense? So there's like that hidden sin of the lust, the that's just one example. There's many others, but we pay attention so much to the ones that are happening out.
Yeah. Well, you could say it like this, like to have an outright open sin, everybody sees. To watch something on a website that nobody sees, people don't attack that as aggressively because nobody's seen it.
Exactly.
And but it's all about killing the flesh.
And it goes just right along with James when it says it births the desire. Because those desires birth the sin, and then the sin births the lifestyle that
and
people are living.
And if you cut it off at the desire, all right, so there's something James is telling us. It's so hard not to get in. We're going to get into it but next week. But desire births sin. Sin births death. If you've there was a famous serial killer. I think it was Ted Bundy, and he did some horrific things. He did some horrific things. And James Dobson, I know we got to go to break, interviewed him. I think he interviewed him in prison because Ted Bundy, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's either Jeffrey Dahmer or Ted Bundy. I cannot remember which one it was. But James Dobson interviewed him in the prison because he had got born again towards. In prison, and he started following Christ. And James, I think it was James Dawson, went in there and interviewed him.
It was, yeah.
Do you remember which one it was, Brother Jerb?
Not for sure.
But he had said,
I'm pretty sure it was Bundy, though.
I think it was Bundy, too.
Yeah.
Because he had told James Dobson that how everything started for him, and this is most the case for all serial killers when they're interviewed and talked to and character. Analysis written, it all started with pornography.
Mm-hmm.
It started with a desire starked by pornography that could not be satisfied, and then eventually it came fruition in the death.
And I think that we have a whole lot of Christians that fight the outward more than we're fighting against and praying against pornography, the root, or any root.
Because at the end of the day, pornography is not your fight. The lust behind pornography... And that's why a lot of times people stop looking at it for 4 weeks and then look at it again because they never dealt with the lust.
Mm-hmm.
They dealt with the consequence of the lust, but they never dealt with the lust. So the desire you have to kill and crucify is the lust.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else starts to die after you cut the axe to the root. So, all right. I've had a couple of people been texting in lately answers. Our rules, and it sounds silly for some people, but we are held by our rules. When we set a rule out for a trivia question, we got to follow it. We would be much more lax if it was not on the radio, but because it's on public radio and FCC regulates our trivia questions.
If you have any complaints, talk to Brother Denny.
I don't think any of those have been mine.
They're really good questions. I'm just saying if I make a rule according to FCC, I have to follow it.
Yeah.
Either that or change the rule because we are given at a price. So it sounds really silly, but we say we can. It has to be a call-in. So it has to be a call-in until we officially change the rules. And we haven't done that. So if Friday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank, what boy was called out of sleep 4 times by the voice of God? I've got the answer from some people, but I've only got it in text, and I can't give you the answer.
Call. 270-257-2689.
Yep. All right. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right. We are back here on this beautiful morning. Brother Rick got that correct. So congratulations, Brother Rick. It was Samuel awoken 4 times. It's a good question. But Brother Rick, he called in. He had texted in earlier, but... See, I forget this. I forget to mention you have to call in. It's my fault. I used to be very diligent about every time I call, you must call in, not text. And then you can get your name in for 2 weeks, every 2 weeks. And then, you know what? About this trivia, I figured this out. We haven't drawn for last week, the last 2 weeks. We supposed to do that Monday, and we just got carried away because we've had so. I mean, like when I say every broadcast this morning, this week has been like slammed with dialogue and questions and interaction. Like we're being pretty serious. Like I don't know if we've ever. I love it. Like it makes me so excited to have this much interaction and comments. Like back to back to back. So I'm gonna get that ready, and we're gonna draw for that here in a minute. So
I'm eager to see how many people. Download this the alien podcast because I actually titled it.
Yeah,
like I've been trying to title them when there can be a title, and so
that one's probably a great disappointment.
I tried for the last few days to find me an alien costume. I was so determined to
it
bring
it was going
to
be a surprise. Aaron,
I was going to surprise you, but they don't make one big enough for me.
He said those aliens must be pretty tiny.
We are going to ask Mr. Bjork about that today. See what he says.
I just couldn't wait to find me an alien costume, but I was going to surprise you.
I would have loved it, brother.
I know you would have. I would have loved it.
I would have loved it.
Me too.
Yeah. I'm still to this. I mean, even today, I'm still processing the shape shifting. Brother Dr. Grady's has got me still thinking. What I don't know, Brother Ramsey. What's your opinion, Brother Gerald? Y'all got any opinion? He thinks
they
demons
might need to.
Well, he thinks demons. The demons can shape shift in about anything, a spaceship. He's really smart. So.
So he said that he first said that because angels. Can take the form of a, like when they appear as
right.
a man,
right.
that demons would have the ability also to be able to change form.
Yeah, I probably think that's true.
Well, I would think it's basically what it is when they appear as a man, an angel.
But he thinks like the demons. Fallen angels could... shapeshift into like different shapes and to make people try to deceive people and make them think that there's UFOs or something.
Oh, but yeah, I would think that's probably true, but it's all demonic.
Because he said it's all deception. They want
right.
they don't want people to believe in God.
Right.
They want people to believe in evolution.
Right.
So they're going to try to deceive and make things appear like
exactly.
it's not the creation.
Right.
The way God created it.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So.
It was interesting. Oops.
Yeah, y'all were busy yesterday at closing time. You were you were trying to do two or three things. I actually was thinking about this. I turned to it. Y'all were talking about the husband being, the word.
We're going to visit that today.
Oh, okay, I was going to say I had my Bible open to that this morning because
yep.
I thought y'all
yep.
were going to be talking about that. And you also talked about the lady that was making the cake for her son. That she was going to die. Now, she was from Zarephath.
Zarephath, yeah.
Right.
And she was with Elijah, was her prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Shunammite woman was different because she was, that was Elisha.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she was from a different area. So,
you are right.
Yeah.
You are right.
So we were talking about that yesterday, and y'all were talking about that. I don't think you're ready to get an answer, but I looked that up because it's always, sometimes it's kind of always questioning in mind, but they're two different events, two different people,
mm-hmm.
two different prophets. Elijah was with the Zarephath woman and the Elisha was with the Shunammite woman,
yeah.
the prophet. So,
right.
Well, before we get into the discussion that the married and the unbelieving, I mean the believing spouse not leaving the unbelieving spouse, I'm gonna do this drawing for this last week because I can't believe we forgot it. So here we go. We're gonna see who won the trivia package for last week. Which let's see, it's going to be. Is it turning over? Hey, Miss Jane Jackson won that. First time I got her name in there. So, Miss Jane, if you are listening, we'll have to announce this over the next couple of days. And if you could text me 270-230-6337, your address will get you this winning thing package sent out to you again. Miss Jane Jackson, if you're out there, just text me your address, 270-230-6337.
Now, are you sure she can text you, or she has to call you?
On this one, she can just text me. She can
She's
just text me.
She's already won.
She's already won. I just need her address. So, Miss Jane Jackson, if you're listening, just, again, 270-230-6337, and text me your address, and we'll get that shipped out early next week to you. Amen.
I wanted to say, Aaron, one thing that you said yesterday I really appreciated. I know we'd say it today as well, but this doesn't save a person. You know, the husband or the wife, you get saved the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But there are benefits here. And you said that yesterday, and I was glad you did.
Well, yeah. Whenever Paul, give him the scripture reference, Brother Ramsey, if you will, for that. I don't remember it right off the top of my head. I'm not the walking Bible like you all are.
Well, it's in it.
7:16.
Yeah, 7. It's 1 Corinthians 7.
16.
Yeah, I knew it was in 1 Corinthians.
Yeah.
And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. It's basically saying if you are a believing spouse and you have an unbelieving spouse, the believing spouse is not to leave the unbelieving spouse because of their unbelieving. Now, if the unbelieving spouse leaves the believing spouse, Paul leaves that to being permissible. It's okay. But the believing's not supposed to leave the unbelieving, and it alludes in there. Now you may need to help me with this paraphrase because I'm working purely off of memory. It does discuss about for the believing spouse will save the unbelieving spouse. Is that correct? How's it worded?
I'm not sure. I read the whole chapter, but then I forgot where it was at.
I think it alludes to something in there about that, and that's what we were.
Verse 16 says, "For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?"
Yeah, talking about like, how do we know if we're going to or not? Like whatever, and then it does allude to the fact of like, there's no salvation in that. Like I'm. A wife or a husband staying there will not save them in the sense of being born again. Now, they can preach the gospel and live it, but but it's kind of like the Jewish nation. They are God's chosen people, but yet they do have to individually be born again.
I wonder why, the ESV says made holy because of his wife, or the wife made holy because of...
Yeah, and what verse is that?
It starts in 7:13.
Yeah.
And I was praying about that, and I said, Lord, how does this work? I mean, they're not saved because of the situation, but he talks about praying for them, living a life before them, you know, and things that can change, you know, prayer changes things. And so the husband can be saved through the wife if she prays for him, and the vice versa. So there is a great benefit to this, but it's not the salvation part. I mean, they have to get saved the same way you and I get saved.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
See, and this is, like, this isn't me. This is me just thinking through, but do you think that this is a sort of, because it says is. I mean, I haven't looked at the Greek, but it says, if a woman has a husband who's an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him, for the unbelieving husband is made holy, or will. I don't know what King James says. But.
Yeah. And I think here, like, what I see Paul saying here is this, that if the unbelieving spouse commits to living with the believing spouse, then I don't think you should withhold anything in the marriage. I think it's a regular marriage and all these kind of things. And basically Paul's telling them you're okay. Like, you're going to be okay. You're not going to be defiled because of them. And if anything, you're going to make them holy.
Right.
And you're going to change the influence of the house. And I do think I want to make sure I word this right. I think there's even an underlining theme right there. Like, that if I am, I'm making sure I word this right. Some things are very difficult to say because you're unpacking how it parallels with a lot of things. Because I think who's in your boat's really important.
Mm-hmm.
I think for teenagers and younger people and even adults, you need to watch who you constantly avail and to hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do start to adapt and become like those you're around a lot. Does that mean we never hang out with anybody that cusses or anything, anybody that doesn't? No, I don't think that's right. I think Jesus went and availed himself to him. This is a particular situation, though, because now you're living with this person. And some people would say, like, that what they're doing is going to get on to her. So say the married woman is the believing, and the husband is unbelieving. Some people would say that the married woman's going to get stuff on her, but actually Paul's saying something else.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's saying that maybe the household's going to be made holy by her, and it doesn't necessarily think saying they're saved. It's just saying like. Maybe her influence, because again, to the Corinthian body, they were very paganist. Like they had the temple Diana in the Corinth city, and that was a very sexualized, perverted, immoral goddess, and they were very notorious for worshiping her.
Mm-hmm.
So if you even think of it in the context of what Paul's addressing the Corinth church about, like he's saying, like, you know, you're to stay faithful. You're to stay true. If the uncommitted or unbelieving husband, and this we're just using this for an example, is committed to live with you, then you should do it. And you should stay married. And you should let your light shine. And you should let your influence happen. And you should not, in my opinion, withhold things because of fear of them defiling you. You should actually walk with confidence that the holiness that you live in will overflow the house.
Yeah,
I believe this personally. What the Bible is saying there, and if you live a holy life and you love Jesus with all your heart, your spouse will be so convicted after a while that you really are a Christian, that God is real and Jesus lives in your life, that they'll be so convicted that they'll have to get in or get out. And I personally believe that.
Mm-hmm.
Is basically what the scripture is saying, that you live a clean, holy life and love your husband like he's the best saint in the world, and vice versa with the husband. And I personally believe that I have seen that in my own life, that the conviction, because of the presence of Jesus in our life, will convict them to the point that they either have to get right or get gone. They just can't take it no more. That's where I'm at on that.
And if they do leave because you're not participating in their sin or something to that regard, then the Bible, Paul tells us here that, like, you're released. You're not free. Enslaved.
Right.
You're not enslaved.
Right.
But that's not a free road for you to cop out and just say, I'm going to make his life so miserable he has to leave me and then I can. No, like, I think you're to give it everything you've got. Like,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you said that. I just say, like, I know people like that. Like, I'm on miserable. He's making me miserable, so I'm going to. No, like, you're to pray. You're to live that light. You're to carry the prayer. You're to be prayer warrior.
Right.
You're to do all of these things. And also, now, let me just say this. I'm going to keep this as kid-friendly as I can. But I also think you're to fully give yourself as a spouse, too. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm trying to keep this as kid. I hope this makes sense. But I think you're to give yourself fully as a spouse in your love, your emotions, your physicality, everything. You should not withhold yourself from them because they're. I think at that point, like, you're to give yourself wholly. And I think Paul's saying you just give yourself wholly.
Absolutely.
And
because even with the unbeliever, I mean, I don't see anywhere where it says, now we submit. Like, Christ comes first, but wives still are to submit to their husbands.
Yeah.
Unless and it's
the
causing them
the
to sin.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for her needs, whatever her needs are.
And what you're saying there, Hannah, I agree. Like, say, we're just using the wife and the husband, the believing wife, unbelieving husband as an example. We can vice versa, both of them. You're right, Brother Gerald. But even in what you just said, there's very good. Like, even with this unbelieving husband, they're still called by Bible to be the leader of the household. They may be a poor leader, but they're still being called. And we're still to keep that trend, except. Now, I want to really clarify this.
Right.
Except if he's asking you to do something that would break Scripture and cause you to sin.
Right.
Then at that point, I still think you operate in honor and respect and love and say, I love you, but I cannot adhere to what you want me to do.
Exactly.
Or what you are doing, because it would break the scripture. Right. And I'm going to honor God before that. And
Amen.
And so that's the tricky thing, and I think this is where, but I think also at that point is when you start to really show the weightiness of your conviction and your faithfulness. And a lot of times that's the things that really start to woo people in, like, okay, they're not going to cave. Like, they're real about this.
Amen. Yeah.
And, and also, you know, all right, so vice versa. Let's flip the script. Let's go back to Hosea and Hagar and
Gomer.
Yeah.
Gomer. This has been a busy week. My brain's fried. Yes, the only thing they should not part. Yeah, John Carwell just sent that. I agree with that. Like, that's what we were trying. That's what we're trying to defend. They should not partake in sin.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely, I agree with that.
Absolutely.
But Hosea, like, he kept going back to her, and actually, he may have even been dismissed. If you really think about it, if we're living by this, because she left him.
Yeah,
she left him. She said, "I don't want your stuff." But the fact that he showed her the love of God in manifestation.
Yeah,
it just speaks so much volumes. And
it said to her, it was better with my husband than it is with these other men.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And she acknowledged.
Yeah. And so, like, this is the same conversation that we had about adultery. Like, adultery may be biblical permissibility for divorce, but it don't have to be divorce. God can do amazing things.
He can.
And he can redeem, and he can restore.
He can.
And the same way, like, Paul's telling you here, you don't, if an unbelieving spouse does leave you, you're not enslaved, but he doesn't require you not to try. He just says you don't feel the conviction, don't feel the condemnation. You're not enslaved. You are free. But even in that, like, this is where we need to pray and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And again, going back to your kingdom corner, dropping those kindness, dropping the heaps of coal. Like, on one side, like, there's biblical permissibility here. If an unbelieving spouse leaves you because of your faith, to stay gone.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's required to stay gone. Like, and Hosea and Gomer kind of shows us this a little bit, too.
Yeah, it does. I think the movie Fireproof shows this really good, too.
Yeah.
Because whenever the husband, well, they're both lost, but then whenever the husband starts to walk with the Lord, it's hard for him, but when he starts to be... give the kindness even when there's the rudeness, then it does heap coals. It irritates at first, but then it ends up leading the wife to want to be saved. She's like, whatever you've got, I want it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's what I believe the word is telling us.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I do think that through the believing spouse, the house can be made holy, because then it starts to affect the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So now you're... And holy means separate. You're guarding, you're protecting, you're praying, you're interceding, you're watching, you are, and all of this, like, these conversations, like, hey, we're not going to allow our kids to do this. I cannot good in good conscience allow our kids to do this.
Right.
Those conversations can happen, and if they happen in respect and love and honor, the unbelieving spouse most of the time hears it.
Right.
Now, if you attack them, they don't.
I personally believe that if the man is a Christian and a godly influence, that it affects the children even more than it does if the woman is the one.
Yep.
I really do.
I think we've talked about that before.
Statistically.
There was, like, a statistics that the children were so much more percentage likely to stay in church and walk with the Lord whenever the dad was the one.
93%.
I believe that.
93% of the time when the dad starts. Now, this is just about going to church. All right, so this was not so much about us.
It was church.
It was going to church, but that's a good step. 93% of the time when the dad starts going to church, the children and the wife do too.
Right.
93% of the time.
I didn't know the number, but I can believe that.
Yeah, it was 93% of the time. Yeah. That was a study done.
Yeah.
It was much lower for the mother, like 50% or something
right.
like that.
Right.
Then it was really low if the kids go first.
Right.
So, and then what I mean by that, like, sometimes kids end up at VBS or, and all that's good.
Yeah.
Like, we should keep doing that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because a lot of kids' lives are changed during VBS
yes,
and all
are.
These kind of things, and Sunday school and all this.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't always equate to the parents coming.
No, it doesn't.
It's a very lower rate.
Right.
But if the dad gets born again or the dad starts going to church,
right,
93% of the time.
93%, yep. Amen.
All right, well, it's time for break. I believe we're going to get Brother B. York on here talking about science, and I think there's a few questions we have for him. So we'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
Hour of the week, and we're glad you're with us and tuning in. Jason Miller here taking you to the 9 o'clock hour, and we have with us, as always, Brother Charles B. York. Good morning, Brother B. York. How are you doing?
Good morning. Doing very well. Glad to be with you.
Yeah, that's good. Everybody well in Virginia?
Much better than usual.
All Absolutely. Right. Okay, that's good. Weather good?
Yeah, it is.
All right.
Beautiful day.
That's good. We've had lots and lots and lots of rain, but I think we've finally broken through and got some sunshine the last 2 days, and looking forward to more and more sunshine. We're tired of rain.
Yes, I imagine.
Okay. But I'm excited to hear what we got going on in the science world, so let's jump right in there. We always run out of time, so let's get rolling right away. How about that?
Right. NASA has determined that they found some planets that could very well be candidates for finding life.
Okay.
And not only, and I'm not talking about a few planets, but a lot of planets.
All right.
We had that. I mentioned last week what the Proxima Centauri, because we had that project where we had the students determine how long it was going to take to get there. And, of course, they were using the rocket technology of that was in use for our normal space things. And of course, they were going to gear it up to a significant fraction of the speed of light, like, you know, 20 to 50%. And they said that it was going to take us 21 years to get to Alpha Centauri system and Proxima Centauri, and of course at that speed. And we find out that, and I mentioned last week that we had that pulse plasma technology,
right,
it's going to speed up our rocket system significantly. In fact, it's only going to take a couple of weeks to get to Mars. Now, that means if you start getting out of the solar system and going to deep space, you still got a lot of time on your hands. And the NASA system that they found, the TRAPPIST-1 and the GLIESA-12B is the exoplanet is B. They have A, B, B, C, depending on which planet they're talking about there, and they got several. They're 40 light years.
Oh, wow.
So they're 10 times further than our trip to Alpha Centauri. But we have a PPR to use instead of what we had to put up with was the normal NASA technology. So that's good news. I'll get there a lot faster. But I don't like locked years. When you get to be my age, you don't want to hear something's going to take a long time. So But nevertheless, it's good to hear. And they've got quite a few planets they've found, several around GLIESA 12, and as many as certainly six, at least, with seven around TRAPPIST-1, which is also 40 light years away in a slightly different direction. So we got two good candidates for places we could go to explore and possibly find life. And the reason is those, a lot of those planets are in the, what's called the habitable zone or the Goldilocks zone.
All right.
That's a place where liquid water can live. In other words, it doesn't have to be ice. It doesn't have to be water vapor. It can be actual liquid water. And that's what causes something to be called the habitable zone or the Goldilocks zone. And so they found planets which all cover that thing. The other thing is Proxima Centauri is a red dwarf. And red dwarfs, and even these are red dwarfs, but they're calm, cool red dwarfs as opposed to the real hot red dwarfs. Problem with a red dwarf is, it bursts periodically and sends out these gigantic waves that are very detrimental to life if they exist there. Okay. So we don't like to see something that's got a lot of activity. And we got some of that now with those two systems, but not nearly as much as you'd have with Proxima Centauri, for example, which has three planets there, but all of them are going to suffer every time that thing throws a flare. And this system, on the other hand, since they're calmer and cooler, they're not likely to have as much detrimental activity. So they're kind of excited about the prospect of there would be life there. And I imagine that we will launch a probe here sometime in the next few years using those PPR technologies so they can get a system out there like Voyager 1 and 2 only around those stars, and they can report back what they're finding, and hopefully it'll be good news. Now, they determine the possibility of life because of they detect certain compounds in the atmosphere, elements and compounds. When they find those things, those are things they believe are potential life. You don't want to send a crew of people that's going to take years to get there, only to find out that everything is dead. And even though the temperature is okay, it's good for the setting up a colony or a station, but it's not good for developing life. So anyway, we got some real encouragement there with that those two systems,
right.
TRAPPIST-1 and Gliese 12, and so the red dwarf that there is much calmer than the typical red dwarfs we watch that have such serious activity. And I'll mention a little later, we had another flare from our sun, and that was a really exciting one, because it turns out, well, I don't want to spoil the message, but
that's all right.
We didn't have to worry about it in the end, and you'll find out why.
Okay.
But that's the good news there.
So all is well in the end.
Yeah. meanwhile, the Russians are crying because the United States Nations Security Council would not pass their program to eliminate weapons in space, or weapons of space treaties. Oh, that's nice. Russia and China are wanting weapons in space treaties.
Oh, boy.
Well, the problem is they've already got weapons in space. They're already there. We got one in one of our orbits of our satellite 813, for example. They got one planet right in the orbit following it around. So they have been very distant. Is a way to describe it. One of the European countries said that being very disingenuous because they want weapons of space treaty now after they've got them. So anyway, that's not happening. They're going to continue, and we've got a fair amount of technology designed to try to counter an enemy's weapon in space. So they're not that excited about that, and it's a very expensive business to do that, and they'd rather have this treaty in place so they don't have to spend any more money putting more of those things in orbit. But it turns out that didn't happen, and they're going to, the rest of the world says, no, it's okay, we need to have that capability. They didn't say we didn't trust you, but I guess that's the implication.
I think that's a fair assumption there.
One thing I didn't get to last week was the planetary alignment that we had on the 3rd.
Yeah.
On the 3rd. So I wanted to say a few things about alignment. We've got more coming.
Okay.
There's one really good one coming in August.
Well, that's good, because I heard about this one a couple days before, but then forgot about it. So
yeah.
I didn't even bother to look up.
Wasn't watching the time, but I was hoping to at least mention that at the very end of the program people get their telescopes out and go see it. Of course, a lot of these things, the big thing about planetary alignments is you don't always need to have telescopes.
Right, yeah.
You know, some of the planets that are small and far away, like Neptune and Uranus and so on, they're hard to see without a high-powered set of binoculars. But a lot of parts of the good thing about these alignments is you can actually go out with a naked eye and see them. The one that's coming in August is going to be really good in that regard. We're going to have a bunch of course, June 3rd one had six planets, but only a couple of them were easily seen by the naked eye.
Right.
And the rest of them would require high-powered. And many of you folks have probably seen, I know you've seen Mars and you've seen Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Mercury, of course, always comes out in the morning.
Right, yeah.
The other thing I like about some of these alignments is you got to get up before dawn. But anyway, Mars, of course, is a nice bright red star-like thing in the heavens. You can usually see with the naked eye, and Mercury is usually quite visible. And Venus
is visible.
Jupiter and Saturn, they are always detectable with the naked eye. But I'm going to tell everybody, there is an app you can get called Sky Tonight. I don't have it yet, but I'll be having it the next time we talk. You can be sure. I know a fair amount about it. Anyway.
Yeah, Sky Tonight.
Sky Tonight. Okay. And it tells you where all the stars are or what they are and how you can best see them. And when they come up with something like a multi-planet alignment, that's big news. Sky Tonight will tell you about that. And so that's a really good app. And kicking myself that I don't already have it in my possession right now, but I know folks that do. And my son has an app, a similar thing, but it's not as potent, but it will tell you things about various planets that are out. And in the June 3rd alignment, we had Jupiter, Mercury, Uranus, Mars, Neptune, and Saturn all available. I had to get up before dawn, of course, but there they were.
Yeah.
And most of those are still showing up after the sun rises. And and so the Sky Tonight will give you all the you look at the one that's appropriate for your area. They'll, for example, all these Sky Tonight's producing where you can see them from. And they'll say what the date is and where you can see them. And of course, the one that's coming up in August is going to be another good one like this one with lots of planets that you can get a hold of. That one you don't have to get up early before dawn, I don't think.
Right. I think it's late August, right? Around the 28th or something like that? Yeah.
28th of August, yeah.
Okay.
So that'll be a good thing. They produce a lot of other information to show you the constellations, what they look like. You know, you see patterns of stars in the skies. Those patterns were designed by ancient people where they imagined these were different types of people or animals. And they would use the stars to outline the people and animals that they're talking about. And so they'll have that information along with the particular planets you ought to be able to see. And so that's, we had Jupiter, Mercury, Uranus, Mars, Neptune, Saturn, all available on the 3rd. And of those, the only ones you'd have trouble seeing are Uranus and Neptune. They require that high-powered. Everything else could be seen with a naked eye. And so it's a great app to have. And I'm not as much of a sky gazer as I ought to be, but I'm a much more one than I used to be.
Right, yeah.
they told me that Betelgeuse, one of the stars I used to locate the North Star,
right, yeah,
was going to explode. I mentioned that a week or two ago. And they determined it was going to explode because of the nature of the... They have the radio detection around the star. That every time a planet goes around the star, it wiggles it a little bit, and that lets them tell a lot of things about it. But in this case, the explosion was going to be devastating, which means that Betelgeuse might not be there anymore.
Right.
Of course, we're talking about something that happened a long time ago. Just the light probably is just now getting here.
Right. Yeah.
So they give these alignments. They tell you, depending on where you are, when you can look, and then which ones the one that's coming up, you know, we got eight planets, even though a lot of us prefer to think of Pluto as still one. But Pluto is now a minor planet.
Yeah.
But it's still going to show up where it's supposed to show up. And, of course, you can't see Pluto unless you have a pretty good telescope, have a pretty gigantic telescope to get Pluto. But anyway, it's going to be in the party, even though it's a minor planet. And they have different categories. They have a mini planetary alignments when you only have like three planets, you know, Mercury, Venus, and Mars, or Mercury, Venus, and Mercury, Mars, and Jupiter. These are the three ones in a mini alignment. Then you have a small alignment when you have four planets. And when you have a large alignment, when you have five or six planets. Then you have a great planetary alignment when you have them all, including Pluto, sometimes when Pluto is available. And although you have to have special equipment to see it.
Yeah, right. I'm still in the Pluto camp. I've in my mind, there are nine planets, Mr. Bjork.
Yeah, and then they told us about the possibility that there was a black hole that came through.
Yeah.
And the black hole is the thing that disturbed the Kuiper Belt object so badly. And I'm thinking that, yeah, well, good luck. It's hard to find a black hole.
Yeah.
You know, we see them thousands of light years away because they've been spinning out for thousands of light years, for thousands of years. So black hole can fly through the end of our outside of our solar system and disturb everything, and we'd never be able to see the thing, at least unless one of our big superpowered telescopes happens to have their field of view right around it. And so they've got that explanation. Others are just saying, no, it's just a great big planet, you know, several times the size of the Earth, which came through, disturbed everything, and it's out there somewhere. And of course, they're looking right now frantically to find if that was there, just to complete that that picture. And
mm-hmm.
So, anyway, it turns out, as I mentioned, Betelgeuse is not going to explode. She may be a female astronomer right now, which they don't have the same level yet. We haven't solved that problem.
Right.
Anyway, she determined that the thing that caused the waving of Betelgeuse's output was not, it's just got we call them sunspots from our sun. They're star spots. And
really?
Star spots were causing that emission to fluctuate, and that was the reason. It's not going to explode. It's just going through some star spots. And she's with some very good astronomers. She is one of the Max Planck organizations.
Okay.
One of the finest astronomy systems that you can imagine. And a lot of the research that was done there is first class. And now she's part of that. Her name is Tavisha Dharmina My daughter-in-law has learned how to say this. Tavisha Dharma Vardina
okay.
is her name.
I'm going to take your word for it.
Yeah. And she has got that model strong enough so that she and her colleagues are convinced mm-hmm. that's probably what was going on. And Betelgeuse will be there, like people like me who need it to find the North Star.
Okay. And it's not going anywhere.
Right. And it apparently it seems like we got Russia and China calmed down about weapons in space, and maybe they won't put any more in there.
That's good.
Because they have to argue with the West on technology and so on. They're going to lose that war. So it's best that we just not have the encounters and let the things in space do what they're supposed to be doing.
That's right.
And, yeah. So August 28th, the next one coming up, it's a big one. It's going to have everything, even Pluto, if you've got the, might show up if you have the system to be able to see it. Of course, most folks still don't, but the professionals will, and if they see it, they're going to make sure we know about it, and that's the good news. Meanwhile, our sun had a flare, and we're quite familiar with that. In fact, you and I talked about the time when they knocked down the internet. We couldn't do part of our programming.
Right. Yeah.
All of it. So anyway, this thing looked like it was going to be. We got a lot of technology right around in the vicinity of the sun. We really watched that sun, and they saw this explosion on the sun. They said, "Oh boy, here comes another flare." But as they were watching it, all of a sudden, the sun sucked it back in. So it blew up, all the stuff, all the material came out of the sun, but then the sun drew it all back in. Because gravitation of the sun is pretty terrific. And
Yeah,
it back in, so we didn't end up with a flare that was going to bother us. I love to see that happen. That's the example.
Is that a normal occurrence, or is that sort of extraordinary?
It does happen, but it's not normal.
Okay.
And like I say, we've got the satellites that are right there in the vicinity of the sun that keep track of that, because they can see this thing coming, and they send messages back to Earth so we can get ready. You know, back in 1825, when they had the flare there, they didn't know what was going on, and all the telegraph system went down across the country.
Yeah.
So anyway,
pandemonium. That,
that's right. And another piece of good news was Boeing finally got their Starliner in orbit.
Yeah,
I was.
I heard about that.
The scientists are now up in the space station, the International Space Station, and they made two guys went up there, and Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams rode that thing into the space station, and successfully, finally, after several attempts, it took them the better part of a week to get everything squared away so it would fly.
Yeah, and Boeing's had a tough few months, so I guess they needed a win.
Yeah. And that's not the only, you've heard about all the stuff falling off airplanes.
Right, yeah.
And they recently did away with the CEO of Boeing.
Right,
as a result of that. They replaced him with somebody. Because they don't want to, you don't want somebody going around and messing up your team. I remember when I was working on a program that we were really excited about because we were going to make it. We had our company had the big element to get into the program, and I stayed up for 3 days, no sleep, no food, and get that thing submitted and get ours part of the program in, and we were very successful. I was so excited, only to get home and find out that Boeing didn't get it done, and so we couldn't get the job done.
Oh, no, that's terrible.
My heart.
I imagine.
So I'm trying to be more favorable towards Boeing, because I know they had a lot of difficulties, and they replaced the CEO, and my son was telling me when I explained the problem, I said, in the company he worked for, they replaced him. And I said, yeah, that's what they did. Boeing has just replaced that guy. So hopefully they're going to have more success in the future, and they've had a good success here with the Starliner.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They've got one win right now.
Yeah, and between them and the guys that are working on, all you folks who want to sign up for it, you can be one of the tourists. Space tourism is going to be a big business. And there's several companies that really want to be part of that. Jeff Bezos' company, for example, is one.
That's Blue Origin, right?
That company. And so we're going to have opportunities for people to go to space. And I would have, back when they were looking, there was a prospect that I could be a Mars explorer. And my wife said, there's no way, buddy. So anyway, people who wanted to get into space can actually do it. Several fairly well-to-do people have already gone into space.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm going to wait I'm going to wait a while. I'm a little worried about the, I don't want to go up in flames, and then B, I don't have the money either, so.
Yeah, that's the other thing you'll notice. All the guys that went into space with the space tourists have a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. that excludes me.
But now they're going to bring the cost down. So they eventually want to get, so, you know, like Elon Musk wants to colonize Mars.
Yeah.
If everybody had to pay a fortune to go, he's not going to have the people wanting to go.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we're out of time again,
We covered most of the important bases.
Yeah, yeah. And when's the Boeing folks? Those guys come back? Are they coming back in the next couple of weeks?
I haven't got a return time yet.
Okay.
They're not going to be there forever, of course.
Right.
But usually, they can stay there a few weeks to do experiments.
Sure. Okay.
But you can be sure. They'll let us know, and I'm going to be sure to let you know.
All right. Well, that's good.
Bird, so.
Okay. Well, you have a great weekend, Mr. Bjork. Thank you again for coming on and sharing all this information with us. We look forward to it every week, and I know you do it as well. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Good thing for me and you too, so
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, you have a great weekend, and thank you again for calling in. All right. And to our listeners as well, thank you so much for making Mornings with Box 2 part of your week. And we'll be back here on Monday, 7 a.m. Monday morning. Make plans to be with us. Enjoy your weekend, and God bless y'all. Hey.